This is a beautiful Labor Day. Thank you for being here today. On Labor Day, I think about all the other things that I could have done with my life. I wanted to be a barber, but I just couldn't cut it. I took a job as an upholsterer, but I never recovered. I could have been a lumberjack, but I got the axe. Tried working in a donut shop, but I got tired of the whole thing. Thought about becoming a doctor, but I didn't have the patience for the job. Worked in a car muffler factory once, but that was exhausting. I tried being a teacher, but I lost my faculties and my class. Got a job once at Starbucks, but it was the same old grind. And I dreamed about being a pediatrician, but then every day would be Labor Day. Oh, yeah. So I became a pastor. All the churches that I have served have had a monthly practice of Holy Communion on the first Sunday. That's not a United Methodist rule. A lot of denominations, a lot of churches do that. Some churches do weekly communion. One morning I led the church through the liturgy, which are the words and the prayers that we say in the communion part of the service. Sometimes it's lengthy, sometimes it's brief, but it always includes these words that Marcia read for us, the words of institution, Jesus' words, straight from the scriptures. Well, I gave the invitation one morning for people to come forward and to receive the bread and the cup, and so people got up, started to come forward out of their pews. One little girl, about 8 years old, was with her family. And as the line moved forward, I could see her tugging her mama's sleeve even closer, more the closer that she got. By the time she got up to the station where I was, she asked with very wide eyes, "Is it really blood, mama?" I smile every time that I think about that. I think about her wide-eyed sense of awe, her innocent hesitation, not quite understanding the mystery of what we were doing. And I felt it was all exactly right. I've known people who stay away on Communion Sundays. And I've known people who rarely miss Communion Sunday. And I think this girl got it right. When we think about the Lord's Supper, we know that Jesus knew that his time was at hand. He knew that he had one last shot with his disciples. And Jesus could have done anything in that moment. He could have preached another sermon. He could have healed another person. He could have fed others. He could have filled the room with angels if he wanted to. He could have given them some last-minute instructions for their ministries, but instead he gave them and us a beautiful image of what God calls the church to be, the fellowship of Jesus' disciples gathered around the table in his name, celebrating his sacrifice, remembering what he endured for us, and receiving his grace to do his work. Jesus gave his closest companions and us a gift that was meant for the whole church to follow in all generations, in all cultures, in all times and places. And Jesus also linked God's people from the past to the present. He connected the Hebrews' Passover meal with this meal. He connected the first covenant with the new covenant. He connected God's deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt to the deliverance of his disciples from Caesar in Rome. He connected freedom from Pharaoh to freedom from Caesar. He connected the lamb that the Hebrew families sacrificed for their Passover meal with himself. that all of us are delivered from sin by his death on the cross. Jesus is the one that the book of Revelation identifies as the Lamb that has been slaughtered and yet now sits upon the throne of heaven. Revelation chapter 7 tells us that Jesus will be our shepherd there. He will guide us to the springs of life, to true, abundant life, and that he will be the one that wipes away every tear from eyes. It's through the Lord's Supper that Jesus tells us that his story is the culmination of Israel's story and God's story. So on this Labor Day weekend, we recall how Jesus' work is also our work. His hands are our hands. If people are going to see his love, then people need to see his love in and through us, our love and our care. And part of who we are here at Bethany is helping people in times of crisis. This morning during the communion offering, you may choose to leave it at the rail or you can designate it as part of your offering today. A portion of that for the pastor's discretionary fund. Some of the ministries that you made possible in August include assistance with a tank of gas, help with the electric bill, and with rent. You know, another part of our work is keeping connected with our unlocated members. I'm glad to say that we only have a few for whom we don't have an address or contact information, nothing at all. Those names are in the bulletin this morning. You've been great in getting that information to me all year long, so I want to thank you for doing that. And if you can help us with those that are in the bulletin, please do. We offer opportunities to grow spiritually. We also have a spiritual and a moral obligation to offer to connect people to a church in the community where they live. We have 657 members here at Bethany. About 150 of them live in a location that it would be unfeasible for them to come to church every Sunday. However, we also do draw people from Deltaville and Cobbs Creek and from Hampton and Newport News. So ultimately, that's a decision, a personal decision that people have to make. But what that means for us is that we have 500 members who live locally, who are a huge resource of love and talents and abilities to do Jesus' work. And part of my work and our work together is identifying and marshaling the resource that God has given to us. And because we know people in our membership and people in our community, we know they need Jesus' love. We know that they need the fellowship of the church. So we offer that. For example, on August the 20th, we prepared and delivered 24 meals, mostly to homebound members. I believe that the number of people who would appreciate a meal is going to increase. If we feel like it would please the Lord to continue this ministry, I envision the day when we'll need to recruit a second team to help meet the need. So, do you like to fix food? Do you like to portion out food? Can you drive and deliver food, meals? We'll need people in all three phases. Last and most important, I believe that our work here is to help people who are interested in exploring the way of Christ, to help them to do so and to offer the fellowship of the church. So you see, we're interested in the spiritual, the practical, and the gastrointestinal needs of people. Sherry and I went out to dinner recently, and they had specials, and we looked at them, and Sherry said, "Do any of these look good to you?" I said, "Well, golly, they all look good. I want them all." I think people want it all, too. They want God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and church and love. and faith and fellowship and compassion and patience and forgiveness and the grace of the gospel. It's all good. People want it all. And people are searching for meaning in life. The Lord is still downloading it to me, but my vision for us includes meeting people wherever they are in life, being a friend, and introducing them to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, or rekindling those relationships, helping people to see the mystery of it all, that He loves us so much that He gave us His only Son. The awe and the wonder of it all. Gathering at the table. That it's all good. It's all good. Thanks be to God.